And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Even says, make you free. And He'll keep you free. Hallelujah, for Jesus is the way maker. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You are holy. You are righteous in all your ways. Lord, you are worthy. All glory, all honor, all praise. Every knee will bow to you, Lord. Of those things in heaven, those things on the earth, and even those under the earth. Every knee will bow to you. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ, your Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. And He shall reign forever and ever. Ooh. And He shall reign. Hallelujah. So you got to quit looking at that man behind the curtain. Amen. And quit looking at the facade of the world. You got to lift your eyes above all that and look to the King of Glory. He's on the throne. He's sovereign. He reigns over all. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. Because Jesus is here. Amen. The Lord is with us. He's for us and not against us. And God's going to have His way. The devil's throwing a temper tantrum right now because he knows his time is short. But Jesus is Lord, and He's going to reign. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. Yes, in that day every knee will bow. A nation shall be gathered before Him. Every kindred, tribe, tongue, amen, and nation is going to come. Hallelujah. So, I don't know about you, but I have hope today. And I'm very optimistic, actually. Because I have the God of all hope with me, in me. And therefore, I'm not to allow myself to get into the funk of this world, amen, and into the chicken yard of this world, if you will. God says, you got to come up on high, amen, with me. Yeah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall soar with Him, amen. You know that eagle makes his nest above the snake line, amen. The snakes can't get to their nest, so we nest above it. In fact, you know, I'm going to read something. Somebody sent me this. Here it is. The only bird that will peck at an eagle is the crow. He sits on his back and bites his neck. The eagle does not respond or fight with the crow. It doesn't waste time or energy on the crow. It simply opens its wings and begins to rise higher in the sky. The higher the flight, the harder it is for the crow to breathe. Eventually, the crow falls due to lack of oxygen. Stop wasting your time with the crows. Just take them to your heights and they'll fade. So true. So true. We have a refuge in the Lord. We have a place of sanctuary, a place of rest in Him. And so the Lord doesn't want us to feed ourselves on junk food of the world and the negativity and the hopelessness that they're trying to peddle upon us right now. Instead, He wants us to lift our eyes above that. Get that crow off your neck, amen? Because all that crow was to that eagle was an irritation. He didn't occupy Himself with that. You know, I talked about this before. When a dog is in the kennel, it swats the fleas. But when it's on the hunt, it forgets all about the fleas. When you're focused on the mission, on the purpose of God for you, you're not going to be preoccupying yourself swatting the fleas of the adversary. Are you hearing me, somebody? We're supposed to be involved in what God's doing, amen? How many know that the Lord is in perfect peace? Because He is perfect peace. So if we're yoked with Him and we're walking with Him in that peace, we'll have peace. So our peace is not going to be found in the world. I know I've tried to find peace in the things of this world, but it never truly satisfied me. And the next morning, I had to pay the piper, you know. But I know this, that God is my peace. And the devil doesn't give you anything without requiring more in return. So he'll give people what they want. He'll give people momentary gratification, temporary gratification, instant gratification. That's the world we live in today. The drive-through, you know, fast food kind of mentality. And yeah, you can avoid maybe the labor and the length of time it takes to cook a good meal by simply driving through McDonald's, right? But how many know that if you are constantly eating at McDonald's, you're not going to be healthy? If you keep eating the junk food, it's going to eventually catch up to you. God wants us to feed on Him, feast on Him, delight in Him, find our satisfaction in Him. He's our bread, bread of satisfaction. The enemy is a narcissist again, and he's constantly trying to get our attention. Look at me, look at me. Don't look at God, look at me. Don't look at the solution, look at the problem. Because when you're looking at the problem, it always seems to get bigger. We see it and say, okay, yeah, there's a problem. We're not going to pretend it's not there. We say, yeah, there's a problem. But then we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, what are we going to do together about this? God, how are we going to navigate? What would you have me to do in agreement with what you want to accomplish in the midst of all this? I mean, you know, sometimes the process is good for you. We don't want any processes. We just want to go and get that instant fix. We don't like the process. You know, I want to get my degree, but I don't want to have to study for it. So I'll just cheat my way through. Well, eventually you're going to find yourself in the workforce. Amen. Without a good education, you may have a degree, but you don't know what you're doing because you didn't study. You weren't prepared for that position you're in now because you thought you could just take a shortcut. You see, the devil's good about shortcuts. He wants to offer you shortcuts. You don't have to go to first base. You can just run right around and go to home base every time. How many know life is not a series of home runs? Life is a series of, hopefully, base hits with some strikeouts in there. So you're going to make some mistakes, amen? But you determine, I'm going to get a hit. And at least for the team, I'm going to get a hit in, amen? And I'm going to get on base. And if you can just keep those bases filled, amen, keep putting people on base, eventually you're going to win. You're going to score. God wants us to understand the process that we're involved in right now. The process that He's taking you through in your life is actually good for you because He's preparing you for what He has up ahead for you. He wants to know, and He wants you to know, that you can trust your God. And God is going to prepare you and equip you through life. You know, if you have the right attitude about it, you don't get into snibbling and complaining about everything. But you start to realize, you know, if I commit my ways to the Lord, I pray and I ask God to guide me in my day, that no matter what happens in my day, God's in charge. Amen. God's got it. And I just need to put my hope in Him and quit looking at everything that happens that goes contrary to what I think is good for me. Sometimes we get our hopes up about things in life. But if you got your hopes up about something that God isn't calling you to, if it's something that just you want in life, and you get your hopes up about that, well, you might be disappointed if it doesn't work out the way you thought it should. You know, I've just kind of been learning how to just kind of relax and say, Lord, I have some ideas of my own. I have some dreams of my own. but I'm willing to submit them before your desk. Amen. For the approval or disapproval. And if it's a no, that's okay too, because you're smarter than I. You know the way. Amen. And sometimes the things that we think we want for us are actually not good for us. Yeah. Sometimes the things we think are something we really need to have are not something we should have. So we need to trust God with whatever's happening, the process we're going through. Know that if you're acknowledging Him, if you're praying and asking God to show you the way, that He's going to do that. And one of the things that God wants to do and accomplish in us is to wean us off dependence on ourselves so much, so that we're not trying to live independent of Him. Because what we're called to be and what we're called to do in this world is beyond what we can do naturally. So it requires God's supernatural power, His ability, His grace working in us to accomplish what He's called us to do, which is greater than what we can do naturally. And the just shall live by faith, faith in God's ability, not faith in myself. The world says you need to have faith in you. You need to have self-esteem. No, the Bible says esteem Christ, esteem God, amen? Humble yourself and let God esteem you. Don't esteem yourself, let another man esteem you, amen? Or let God esteem you. Problem is, we're telling people you need to esteem yourself. Well, that's just the problem. Because we get an overinflated ego, or we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We're not thinking soberly. And so we get this lofty idea. And then our hopes are dashed when it doesn't work out the way we thought it should. And you know, sometimes we have idols in our hearts that we're not aware of. Goals that we want to pursue in life. And the real question is, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? And the title of this message is, who are you going to serve? The devil is after your faith. He's seeking to rob you and I and get us into unbelief through his lies, through his propaganda. He seeks to rob you and I of our confidence in God. Your confidence in God has great reward. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him, please God, right? For he who comes to God must believe He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So the devil's after your confidence. He's trying to get us to doubt that God's good, that God is able. And so he wants to throw the whole thing on our shoulders and says, you have to carry it all. You have to make happen what only God can actually do. That's what happened with Abraham. He tried to make the promise come to pass. Amen. Instead of waiting on God's timing. And God wanted to make sure that they understood that it was a miracle baby that was going to occur, right? And that they are beyond childbearing years when the promise finally came. Because in their natural understanding, you're saying, but I'm getting older, my body's starting to wear out, and then they're getting to a point and said, pretty soon we're going to have that thing called the change of life, and now what are we going to do? Well, maybe God didn't quite mean what he said, or maybe we need to help God accomplish what he promised for us. And we get in the way sometimes of what he wants to accomplish supernaturally. So we try to physically sometimes move and make things happen that God wants to do supernaturally. You know, when people witness a miracle, they're witnessing a manifestation of the invisible God. And so God wants to reveal himself through signs and wonders and miracles. I don't know about you, but I'm a miracle even. I'm a walking miracle. I'm a sign and a wonder. People that knew me before said, man, that's a sign and a wonder. Look what the Lord did. You know, Yeah, we believe in miracles. Yeah, we believe in healing. Yes, we believe in all these good graces and the gifts of God. Amen. But God wants to manifest. He wants to reveal himself. And he honors faith. He honors those who believe him. So the devil is trying to discourage. I said it last week, but discouragement does not come from God. So if you find yourself being discouraged by the things maybe you're hearing or you're seeing, understand the source of that is not the Lord. So maybe we should stop dwelling on all this stuff that's sowing doubt and discouragement and fear and hopelessness into us. Maybe we ought to just go a little higher and get that crow off our back. Are you hearing me, somebody? There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. There's a place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. God wants us to draw near and find refuge, rest. He is our fortress. He's our strong tower. He's our deliverer. He's the one that we can come to and hide in him. Hallelujah. And even though there's a storm raging around us, there is a place of refuge, is a place of rest in his presence. And God, through the blood of the sacrifice, has opened the way for us, amen, to come with confidence, with boldness into the throne of grace. And for those who are diligently seeking him, he will reward with his presence. Now, I'm not about claiming Cadillacs. How many know that he is our exceeding great reward? He is our treasure. He's the one that we should be seeking. He's the one that truly satisfies us. Hallelujah. Now, if God gives you a Cadillac, that's just the cream on, right? On the cake. But sometimes people are looking for all the fluff and all the external things and the nice things of this present world, the temporary things. And in the midst of all that seeking and searching for vain things, if chasing after wind and sand, if you will, they're missing out on the most important things, the weightier things of life. That is that relationship, that covenant with God, amen, and our walk with him. As we're here to live for eternity and store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's by faith in God alone that we are able to overcome the world. People are looking to so many different things right now to try to fill up the void in their hearts. They're trying to satisfy themselves with entertainment and drugs, alcohol, partying, whatever, sex, just looking for everything in this world to try to fill up the void in their hearts. You know, God is the only one that can really fill up the deepest need of our hearts. And so we got to be careful that we're not satisfying ourselves on junk food, because junk food does give you a temporary satisfaction, a feeling of being full. But you can starve to death on junk food. And you may not even realize that you're getting sick. God wants us to delight in him, guys. It's a simple message. Connect with your Creator, who's made it possible through the broken body, shed blood of our Lord. Amen. Jesus opened the way into the heaven. Amen. Is the holiest. The veil has been rent from top to bottom. The way is open. We can now come with confidence in the shed blood of Christ. Not in our own goodness. Not in our own righteousness. Not in the self-righteousness that says, oh God, because I'm so holy, certainly you listen to my prayers. Because it's when we start to think like that, that God starts to turn the heat up in your life and show you some more. Are you hearing me, somebody? God's trying to get us to quit looking at ourselves as being the righteous one. And recognize that he is my righteousness. My trust, my hope, my faith is in Christ alone. Not in me. And when I'm in communion with him, when I'm in fellowship with him, when I'm walking with him, amen, you want to do the things that delight him. You want to do those things that please him. You don't want to do the things that grieve the one you love. Come on, somebody. It's not a matter of if I don't do this, I get in trouble. It's a matter of I don't want to do this anymore. Amen. God's given me a new heart. I've been born again. Now I want to live for God. The world system around us is always trying to drag us away from God and from what is eternal. Let's face it, you and I were born in slavery. We were born corrupt, slaves to sin, victims of the passing things. That's why we must be born again. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. You know, those who overcome the world are those who truly believe God. Those whose confidence is in the Lord. How many know that it's not the scientists that overcome the world? It's not the philosophers. And it's not the psychologists. Everybody runs to the scientists, the philosophers, the psychologists. Because I'm having trouble getting through life. I want you to know that faith in God alone is what you need. You need to understand that your God is not weak, that He's all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, that He's faithful and He's true, and He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think according to His mighty power at work within me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't have to bow my knee, amen, to that lying devil. I just need to go deeper into God. I need to rise up higher, amen, and get that crow off my neck. Jesus is our victor. He went before us, amen. He overcame all the hosts of hell. He overcame Satan. There's nothing to fear if we are in Christ, because He has disarmed principalities and powers. Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers. Past tense. He, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. How many know that all true authority comes from God? It comes from the Lord. While Jesus was on the earth, He delegated authority to His followers, did He not? In Luke 10:19, He said to the 70, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions." What? "And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." How many know that you don't have to fear anything if Jesus is with you? You know, I've always used the example of having a friend that was bigger and more powerful than I was. Amen. If I was in a situation where I wasn't able to deal with it. Amen. But if I had some backup, I had somebody with me that I know, hey, it's all right, man. I've got Bubba here. He's going to take care of business, you know. But how many know we got Jesus in our camp? Amen. We got the more powerful one with us. Hallelujah. And God's going to have us partner with Him. But there's just going to be some giants that we're not going to be able to deal with. Amen. Except that Jesus be with us and we partner and obey Him and do what He tells us to do. So Jesus has all authority, but He delegates authority to His people, to His church. Amen. So that we will go in His name representing Him. Amen. And take authority over the works of darkness. Jesus has already defeated the enemy. He spoiled principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness in high places. He's already done that. Jesus is now telling you and I, His representatives on the earth, that we are to now enforce what He has already accomplished for us. Are you with me so far? You've heard this before, haven't you? God is saying, listen, I've already taken care of the problem. He who lives outside of eternity already saw the problem solved. He says, you're walking along, you're looking through your natural eyes and your natural reasoning, but God has already removed the giant. He says, you need to believe what I've told you. I've given you a land. It is flowing with milk and honey. You need to go in and possess what I've promised you and quit looking at the giants. I've already dealt with them. He already said, they're yours. They're going to be your bread. When Jesus was before Pilate in John 19:10, Pilate said to Him, are you not speaking to Me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivers me to you has the greater sin. Now, hear this. That word power is the same word we get in John 1:12, exousia. To as many as received him, to them he gave the exousia, the authority to become the sons of God. By virtue of the new birth, when we're born of him and we become a child of God, we've been given the authority, amen, to represent our Father in the earth realm and to enforce what he's already accomplished on our behalf. So he says, all authority has been given unto me, Matthew 28:18. Where? In heaven and on earth. All authority. That word is exousia, the same word. So Jesus said, because Pilate was using that, he says, I have authority to crucify you, John 19:10. And I have authority to release you. Jesus said, you could have no authority at all against me. Why? Because he was the King of Kings. Unless what? It had been given you from above. Jesus has all authority. He is the head of his church. He rules from heaven. But he extends his reign through the body who represents him here in the earth. You and I are his body. Amen? His hands and his feet, his mouth, his ears, his expression here in the earth. And so we need to understand that we receive our orders from him as he gives us commandment, as he speaks to us by his Spirit. He then gives authorization for us to enforce his word here in the earth realm. So when God speaks a word to you, you can take it to the bank, if you will. You can take it and you can apply it and know that God is going to come through, because God would not tell you to do something without giving you the authorization and the power to accomplish it. So that's where faith comes in, where we have to step out of our own insecurities and realize that it's not about me, it's about what Jesus is going to do through me, what he can accomplish through me. Because the world says you have to have more faith in you, more trust in you, you have to have greater esteem of yourself. But God says, no, you need to deny yourself and trust me, amen, for the authority and the power for you to live the life I've called you to represent me here on the earth. I've given you the authorization to destroy the works of the devil. You can never do that naturally. Some people, again, they're going to secular authorities and sources for help. And God says, am I weak? Do I not have all power? Am I not able to solve this problem for you? What do you got to do? You got to go up higher. You got to go deeper. How many know that praise is toxic to the devil, right? He inhabits the praises of his people. The devil hates it. And he knows if you draw near to God, hallelujah, he's going to get off your back. Now, if you want to just stay on the outer court and splash around in the kiddie pool and sample Christianity, it's not going to work for you, amen? You've got to dive into the deep end. You've got to go deep into God. Go into his heart. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord evermore. As we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. There's no depression in his presence. I believe God is able. Now, if we shrink God in our imagination, in our mind, and somehow believe that, well, this is just too much for God. Well, according to your faith, it will be unto you. God wants us to stretch us out of the predictable. He wants to stretch us out of our comfort zone. It's comfortable to sit in the boat. But if Jesus is out on the water, that's the place you want to be. That's the safest place to be. Okay. So after his resurrection, just before his ascension, this is when Jesus had given us the Great Commission. And he told us that he has all authority. Go, therefore, and make disciples, verse 19, of all the nations. Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then verse 20, listen, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what is he saying? As I taught you, as I set an example for you, as you have learned of me, now you go and you find faithful men that you can entrust this to as well. Reproduce in the earth. What Jesus began to do, amen, he's basically passed the baton on now to his church, all right, to go now in his stead, as he will, like, he will reign from heaven, and he will be the command center. He will give us, amen, his word, his direction, and show us what to do if we seek him for that. And as he gives you a word, this is what we need, is we need to hear, what is God actually saying to me? You need to cultivate a relationship with the Lord so that you do know his voice, you recognize his voice. And the best way to do that is to spend time in the word, amen, the word of God, so that when he does speak to you, you're going to say, that's the Lord speaking. Come on, somebody. See, a lot of people are thinking God's speaking to them, but he's not. It's some other voice they're hearing. And how come they don't know that? Because they don't know God's word, his ways, his nature, his character. They don't study the word, so they just assume, well, I had this thought, so it must be God. And you know, if I thought it, it's got to be God. How many have had people walk up to you and say, you know, the Lord has a word for you? And I've had some people walk up to me and say, you know, the Lord has a word for you, and I felt like they vomited on me. That's not God. I'm sorry. I don't receive that. I'm not even talking about a correction. Sometimes we need a correction. I'm talking about somebody coming up and they're speaking something over you that God's not speaking. And if you have his spirit and you have his word, when you hear that, you're going to say, that's not his voice. I'm sorry. It may even sound like a good thing. It may be a smooth thing. It might be flattery. How many know what false prophets are good at? Flattery. They'll make you feel good. Well, how about this one? All legitimate authority is authority that comes from God. All right? But authority is illegitimate whenever it seeks to undermine the word of God. Guys, we're at a crossroads in our own personal lives, in our nation, as to where things are going to go from here. It's no mystery. But we need to understand who we are in him and who he is in us and the authority that God has given us to enforce what he has done, amen, already on our behalf. And the enemy knows that the church is a hindrance to what he wants to accomplish. We are the restraining force right now in the earth. And primarily America. So he's trying to use psychological warfare to get into our head. Through the saturation of the lies and the propaganda in the mainstream media, to sow hopelessness, to sow fear. Oh, please save me, government. Trust the scientists, they say. How about trust the Lord? Amen. God can use a scientist. But my trust is in the Lord, amen? And if the scientist ain't speaking what the Spirit of God is speaking to me, throw it out. It's bunk science. They've so twisted science. Science used to be a way that they would prove what God said in this word. They used to use science to say, well, God said, well, here's the proof. Now they've twisted it to try to use science somehow, so-called science, to try to disprove God's word, and they can't really do it. They just fake it. Because the devil's a narcissist again. He wants your attention. He wants to get you to listen to what he's saying. Because he knows that if he can get you to listen to what he's saying, then he can sow discouragement. He can rob you of your confidence. He's after your faith. But we need to rise up. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to rise up and say, but what does God say? I don't care what they say. What is God saying in this hour? I need to get my head above all these waves, amen, and say, Lord, what are you saying? What are you speaking in this hour? That's what I'm going to grab a hold of, and that's what I'm going to live out, amen, because I'm not going to be subject. I'm not going to bow my knee to Satan. You remember the three in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are three young men that said, you know what? We're not bowing down. We're not bowing down. Daniel 3:14, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up. Verse 15, now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Oh, he shouldn't have said that. You don't want to provoke the Lord to anger. Amen. You know, the Lord could come down and say, who are you? Ping. Over. Done. But God is merciful. You know, God is even merciful to this man. He didn't get it. He didn't understand. And there are people that are opposing you and I right now that just simply don't understand. Their eyes have not been opened. So they're doing what they do naturally, and they're going to serve their master Satan, because all of us naturally are born as a slave to Satan. Amen. So we had those kind of thoughts and that kind of way of looking at things. That's why we must be born again. We need a new heart. We need to see things from God's perspective. In verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. So what did they had confidence, they had faith in God. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Do you know the enemy has set up such a facade today, an image in the minds of people? And I think even this whole coronavirus thing has been so exaggerated. Is it real? Yes. Is it as bad as they say? I don't believe it. I'm not saying be careless. I'm saying we need to wake up and realize that this is propaganda. They've used this whole thing for political motivations, to control. But these guys stood up and said, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to give him. And you know the story goes. They were, the safest place for them was where? In the fiery furnace. Because that's where Jesus was. He said, you probably were thinking, I don't know, if I was them, I was probably thinking, man, this is it. We're on our way to this, to burn up. But they probably didn't realize that Jesus was going to be meeting them in the fire, but they were just thinking, man, this is it. And even the men that, you know, were throwing them into the furnace burned up. It was so hot. And yet God supernaturally intervened. Why? Because these men stood, all right, for the Lord. Because they didn't bow their knee to Satan. They said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You see, you and I are being tested right now. You and I are being pressured right now to give in to the fear and to the propaganda and to submit ourselves to Satan. And we're going to have to make a determination that we're not going to bow our knee to Satan. We're going to stand up for Jesus in this hour. And if we stand up for Jesus, I've discovered that Jesus stands up for me. I find that when I step out for Jesus, Jesus steps out with me because he's with me. The safest place to be is in the will of God. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Guys, sometimes we're just listening to the wrong voices. And if we fill our heads with certain voices and certain things and certain information, after a while we start to believe it. It could be a complete lie. But if we don't guard ourselves, we're going to start believing a lie as though it were true. Yeah. That's why Jesus warned us. He said to be careful. See that you're not deceived, right? We're living in that time of great deception. You know, anybody can appear to be guilty in a court of law when there's only one side being presented. I've used that before, but you know, you ever watch those crime scene shows where, you know, they have somebody and they're saying, they're giving you the information about the situation. And already in your mind, sometimes you've got somebody pegged. Oh, it's got to be that person. That's the one that did it. He's the one that's guilty. I can tell. And all of a sudden, they start to bring in a cross, you know, examination of it. And they bring in some more facts. And all of a sudden, things start to shift. And so, oh, maybe it's not that person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if you're only getting one side of the thing and you're not doing any cross examination, hello, somebody, you're going to believe, you're going to be convinced that that is true, that that's real. And that's why if you're only listening to the message of the media and the world and you're not listening to the message of God, hello, you're going to believe a lie. And you're going to bow down to that lie. See, the enemy's sowing fear. But faith, faith, confidence in God is the opposite of fear. What we need is to rise up in confidence that our God is with us. Our God is for us. Our God is able. God is on the throne, not Pharaoh. God uses people. God uses men and women. Amen. But God is the king over all kings. And he has all authority. So I need to receive my instruction, my direction, my orders from him who reigns above, amen, who sees the whole situation. He declares what? The beginning from the end. So God already sees. He already knows what's coming. And we need to put our faith in him. What do? We make a stand. We stand up for truth and justice. We stand up for what God said. We need to make a determination, guys, who we're going to serve. You can't serve two masters. Illegitimate authority is an authority that has overstepped its bounds. Whenever you have somebody in leadership who extends themselves beyond what they're authorized to do, it's illegitimate authority. Come on, somebody. And the enemy is a usurper because Jesus has stripped him, but through lies he tries to convince people that he's God and they need to bow down to him and give heed to him, because when you start to obey him, you give him permission to rule over you illegitimately. But nonetheless, he uses lies and deception to rule over people. And so many people are just like sheep because they don't know the voice of the shepherd. They're following another. We need to hear what God is saying in this hour. What is God saying? Not what is the media telling me. And when you hear from the Lord and you know the word from God and you recognize God has spoken, it's clear the Lord has made this word true to me, amen, or clear to me. Then when you hear the lie, you'll say, that's not God. When you know his voice, when you hear another voice, you'll say, that's not the Lord. I'm not listening to that. Jesus said, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. And they follow me. So we need to make up our minds who we're going to serve. So what is the devil doing? Right now, the devil is trying to bully people into submission. He's trying to intimidate and bully people. All right? To bow down to him. Listen to Philippians 1, verse 28. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. Back, amen, to the spies on the wall of Jericho. Speak into, remember Rahab the harlot? And she said, the fear of God has come upon us. We're terrified. We've seen what God has done for you in the deliverance of Egypt and all the plagues and the things that God did. And our hearts melted within us and we had no more strength, they said, because they were listening what to the report, the testimony of God. Hallelujah. And remember the other spies that went in? They were listening to the testimony of the world, the narrative of the world. They were listening to the propaganda of that age. where the enemy is telling him, oh, there are giants in the land, it's too big, it's too bad, it's too impossible, you can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, because they knew that God had spoken, they had a word from God, and they stood on that word and said, God has promised us that land, indeed, amen, it is ours. And we've got to get our eyes above all this stuff, guys, and the propaganda that's being spilled out right now. And we need to hear from God. What is God saying in this hour? Now, if you've been born again, Satan has no authority over you except that which you would give him by listening to his lies. Fear is a paralyzer. The enemy uses fear to inflict, all right, his prey. A lion will roar to temporarily sometimes paralyze its prey. They'll freeze. And all they need is a few seconds to pounce. Are you hearing me, somebody? And so the enemy is roaring. He's like or as a roaring lion, right? But how many know that there's another lion roaring, man, right now? There's a greater lion roaring. The lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring from heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And we need to listen to what the Lord is saying from heaven. Amen. Satan has no authority over you. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us, God, from the power of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So in Christ, you have been brought from death into life. Amen. From darkness into light. From the power of Satan. Amen. To the power of God. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's who we are in Christ, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God through what? The new birth, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In Christ, we have been given authority over Satan. So we must resist him. If you know that you have authority, then you have confidence. If you're afraid of your adversary, it means that you don't believe that you have authority over your adversary. If a cop doesn't know his authority, he can easily get walked on, amen? Taken advantage of. But he has that authorization and he wears that badge, amen, and it's supposed to mean something. It used to. But if he knows his authority, he'll know where the bounds of that authority are. He knows what he's authorized to do and what he's not authorized to do. And he'll function within that realm of his authority. And he will be able to do what he was authorized to do by the government. And that is enforce the law. So, the same thing is true for believers, guys. We need to understand that God has told us to enforce what he's already accomplished. And don't give in, don't bow down, don't listen to the devil. Instead, stand on the word of truth. What did God say? Don't question what God says. God doesn't lie, amen? He speaks the truth. He's not a man that he should lie. In Christ, when we're born again, sin has no authority over us anymore. So not only are we free from Satan, but we're free from the power of sin. Well, you don't know how I struggle with my sin. Why? Because you don't believe. You don't believe what God has done for you. You don't believe in the authority that you have. You don't believe that you've already been set free from that. It's not something that you have to achieve. It's something that you have to receive by faith that God has given me complete freedom in Christ and I'm no longer a slave to sin. I've been set free. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a drug addict. I'm set free. I'm no longer an alcoholic. I'm set free in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm no longer an abuser. I'm set free in Jesus' name. I'm no longer any of those things that the devil has pointed a finger at me and accused me of and sometimes reminds you of what used to be so that hopefully you'll grab it and take it back again. You can walk away from an altar completely clean and set free. Hallelujah. And if you go out and you start listening to that wrong voice again, he's going to offer it back to you. And guess what you're going to do? If you start believing that voice instead of the voice of truth, you're going to just pick it right back up again and go back into the same cesspool. Come on. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Let's sing that. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. It's what you believe that you will receive. Do you have faith and confidence in your God who has already overcome the enemy of your soul, who has spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places? And He sits, amen, at the right hand of the Father as our intercessor. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved in Jesus' name. Call on the Lord. Trust in Him. Believe His word. Believe the report. Hallelujah. And you'll prosper. You walk in freedom. If you believe you're free, you'll walk in freedom. For those of you who aren't here and haven't heard this before, I'm going to use that example again, guys. It's like the dog, amen, that was locked inside the house for so long, amen, and they had a glass sliding door. You know those glass sliding doors? And that dog would think he could just walk through that because he didn't realize there was something there. And he'd smack up against that glass, right? And he'd leave a nice smudge. And if the dog had any sense after the first or second, third time, he's going to say, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go that way anymore. And then eventually the master comes down and says, you know what? I'm going to open the door. Just open up, get some fresh air in here. And old Bowser's sitting over there saying, boy, I would really like to go outside, but I'm afraid I'm going to run into that door again. He doesn't realize that the door has already been removed. It's already open. You're already free. You're already free. Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. If you're in Christ today, you stand, amen, stand fast in your freedom. Don't allow that enemy to oppress you. Don't listen to that bully. Don't listen to that report. Don't listen to that propaganda. Don't listen to the lies of the adversary that's telling you you can and you won't and you'll never. God says, I can do all things through what? Christ. Mommy, is he mad? No. When I was a kid in church, I remember we had this fire and brimstone Baptist preacher and he'd stomp and snort and walk across. I said, Mom, is he mad? Oh, no, no. He's just never mind. Thought I'd take a little vacation without leaving the farm. So, all right, now, you and I, if we're in Christ, grace reigns in us, not sin. The devil wants you to believe that you're still bound by sin. If you believe that, you will be. God says, I want you to believe. In my report, I've already taken care of the sin problem. It's already been solved. You can walk in freedom. You don't have to give into that. Don't listen to that voice anymore. He uses propaganda. He uses lies. And he usurps authority because he doesn't have the authority. Jesus has all authority. And he's given you authority to enforce what he's done in your own life. He's given you charge of yourself. So I take charge of myself because God gives me a thing called self-control by the power of the Spirit. So even though I may be tempted and I may want to do that, I can still say no because I'm no longer a slave. I've been set free. God's given us authority in Jesus' name. We know that, right? Prophet Ezekiel, you remember the valley of dry bones? Okay. They were to be resurrected and they were going to be a mighty army to serve the Lord. Ezekiel 37 verse 4. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So Ezekiel had to first have what? A word from God. And then he said what? Speak or prophesy to these bones. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel was instructed by God to do a strange thing. What was that? Speak to dry, dead bones. What are the neighbors going to think? He has to speak, in other words, to something in the natural that appears hopeless. There are things in your life, there are blockades between you and your destiny that God wants you to take authority over. And he wants you to tell them to move, to get out of your way. You have to speak to things that are in your path at times. You have to speak into a situation that may appear to be hopeless. If I just listen to the propaganda of the age and what the media is telling me, everything would be hopeless. I need to start speaking life into death. God is telling Ezekiel, I want you to speak life into death. My word is supreme. My word overrules. It trumps all the lies of the enemy. Are you hearing me, somebody? We need to speak the truth in love. Amen. We need to speak to that mountain. Get out of my way. Be cast into the sea. You need to take authority over these things that are standing between you and what God has promised you in your life. And so you can't be in confidence or in faith if you're not feeding yourself on the promises of God. If you're just feeding yourself with a narrative of the media, then you're going to shrink in fear and insecurity and worry and all these other things, amen, that the enemy is throwing at people to discourage them because the enemy is after your faith. But God says, I want you to be strong and listen to my voice. He wants us to be bold because he's with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We need to listen to the voice of God. He told Ezekiel, I want you to speak to these dead bones. So after he receives the word, that's when the miracle begins. Now, nothing would have happened, guys, unless Ezekiel obeyed God. See, sometimes we're asking God to do something when he's told us to do something. He's given you the instruction of what you need to do, and you're still waiting for God to do something. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you a plan. He'll say, this is my idea for you. And if we're just sitting around saying, well, I hope God does something. Sometimes God is saying, what's that in your hand? I've already given you the authorization. I've already given you the authority to deal with this thing. Amen. But this is a great Red Sea. But God says, speak to it. Amen. Raise up your rod and go forward. Quit sitting back there swatting the fleas. Get on the hunt. Move forward with God. Amen. During the time the prophet prayed, nothing happened. In other words, there's times when we pray, guys, and then there's a time to move. There's a time to act. After he received the word of the Lord, he activated it by responding in faith. So receiving a word is not always enough. Israel received the word. What was the problem? It was not mixed with faith. They didn't really believe the word. They heard what God was saying, but they were looking through natural understanding and saying, but I hear what God's saying, but do you see how big those giants are? See, we need to understand that God's got all authority. His word, amen, will accomplish what he sends it forth to do. And he's looking for someone who will cooperate with him and partner with him and be his spokespeople. Someone that will speak into that situation. Is there death around you? Is there death in your neighborhood? It's time to start speaking life into the death. Amen. Start prophesying to the dead bones of this nation. Hallelujah. That America will live. America will revive. America, the church in America is rising up. It's being restored. It's being strengthened right now. People are waking up. Did you know that? Hallelujah. How many know that pressure can be a good thing? It can get God's people back to where they need to be, seeking him again. Amen. Trusting him again. God's taken away a lot of the artificial security blankets so that people will start trusting him again. Amen. And understand, and then they'll be able to see the miracle of God. And when God intervenes, boy, your faith is at an all-time high. When God answers prayer, he spoke to two things, the breath and the bones. He spoke to the natural and he spoke to the spiritual. Come from the four winds, he spoke to the Lord. Amen. To the breath of God, to the Spirit of God. Come from the four winds and breathe upon these bones. And then he had to speak to them, and to the bones. So there was first a calling on the Lord, and then there was an agreeing with the Word of God, the counsel of God, to speak what God was speaking in that hour. And he said, I want you to speak to these bones, that you will live. So he prophesied as I was commanded, verse 7, as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So what did he have to do? He had to take it up another notch. Verse 9, and he said, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them. Why? Because he obeyed the word of the Lord. Because he agreed with God. He spoke what God spoke. Jesus spoke what the Father spoke. And God is calling you and I today to partner with him and start speaking what he's speaking in this hour. Because God's heart is redemptive in nature. God wants to redeem America. God wants to save this nation. Did you know that? God wants to revive America. God wants to send an awakening to America. Regardless of what it looks like or what you're hearing, God is well able to do it. He's looking for someone who will get into agreement with what he wants to accomplish in this nation. Amen? Okay. I put myself out there, guys, because I believe that. Because the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that he's going to do a work. He's going to do a wonder. And right now it's beginning to happen. Huh. God's people, the church is coming alive. It's waking up. Hallelujah. In Christ, you are king. Revelation 1:6, it says he's made us kings and priests to his God and Father. All right. So that's what God has called us to do, is to represent him as little kings under his leadership. He is the king, capital K, of what? Little kings. So what does a king do? Kings have been authorized to make decrees. Kings are authorized to decree something, to speak. Are you hearing me, somebody? Some of these governors think they're kings. But Jesus is king of what? Of kings and Lord of lords. So if we are kings and priests unto our God, then he also gives us the authority of a decree to speak what God is speaking in this hour in agreement with what he wants to accomplish. And guys, I'm going to make a decree. Okay? And you do this over your home. You need to start decreeing over your children. Speaking over your children. Speaking over your loved ones. Speaking over your situation. Speaking over your workplace. Come on. Speaking over your neighborhood. Hallelujah. In this place, there will be righteousness. There will be peace. There will be joy. Amen? This will be a place of celebration. Hallelujah. There's going to be in this place, I decree, salvation and healing and deliverance. And this will be a place of restoration and reconciliation. And the Lord will be glorified in his saints. Hallelujah. That you're going to prosper and be in health. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you peace. You see, a father has been authorized, amen, to speak a blessing over his child, amen. And so you and I have been given also the authorization to speak the blessing of God over our loved ones and over one another. That's why we're supposed to bless and not curse. Amen. So you receive that today? You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You're no longer bound by sin. You're not bound by Satan. God set you free from Satan and from the power of sin. So you can walk in freedom. You receive that. You believe that. You act upon it. Amen. Hallelujah. When you're tempted, you just stand on the word of God. It says, I'm no longer a slave to sin. Amen? I'm a child of God. I don't get my orders from Satan anymore. I'm under new management. I answer to Jesus now. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay, you receive that? I just believe this is our finest hour. It's time for us to rise up and take back what the enemy has stolen. Stand on the word of God. Amen? And don't cower. Don't bow down to Satan. Don't give him, all right, what he wants, and that he wants to take your freedom and he wants to enslave you. We need to stand on the word of God. Amen. Stand up for truth and righteousness and justice. Hallelujah. Because God loves justice. Amen. Oh, God of justice, we thank you that you are just and true, that you are with us, your people, that you have called us to assemble and to partner with you in this hour. To join forces with you, Lord, to accomplish your will, your mission in the earth. And Father, we ask you for grace. We ask you for strength. Lord, I ask you to strengthen my brothers and sisters. Strengthen each one with might in the inner man. Lord, make us strong. Make us bold. Baptize our hearts with your holy fire, Lord. Holy Spirit, baptize us now. Fill us now. Strengthen us now. Stirring up the gift of God in every heart. Lord, bring each one of us to full flame, that we will rise up and we will glorify the Lord as we speak your word, as we speak life into death. Lord, we thank you that you will confirm your word with accompanying signs. We pray, Lord, that you be glorified. Hallelujah. In your church throughout the earth, in Jesus' name. Amen.